Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 15, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. The faith of a Canaanite woman. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us to your house of worship. Father, we ask you to bless the pastor's lips and open up our hearts and minds to receive your words through him. Father, may we always reflect you in our daily lives. Guide us and teach us your words and your ways. In Jesus' blessed name I pray. Amen.
Before I share with you a couple of thoughts, I would like to wish Happy Mother's Day to all mothers and grandmothers here. And if I'm not mistaken, the latest mother present here is Teresa. There is another mother, but she's not here this morning. So Teresa, there you go. We honor you for being, of course we honor Stefan also for being part of the whole process, but... There you go, you see. We honor you, Teresa, and all the other mothers that are present here. Yeah, you're... She is agreeing with you, or disagreeing. There are many examples of great mothers. But I believe we are not here this morning to judge good mothers and bad mothers, but honor all the mothers. Even bad mothers, at one time or another, they have done something. Although things have changed lately, and you will see a lot of fathers and mothers destroying lives rather than creating good lives. Nevertheless, we are here this morning to remember all the wonderful mothers and the mothers that have been around us. And I was trying to remember my past, and then I said, how many great mothers do I know? And you know what? There is a great, big list of great mothers I've met. I hope you allow me to become a little sentimental and mention some things that are from my past. And looking at this morning at the Quran, who is a great grandfather, and I remember his mother, and I said she was a great lady. She was a single mother long time ago, and she brought up all these children. And then I remembered other mothers, my other friends, and I couldn't decide which mother was the greatest. until I came to my own grandmother. And you know what? I became a little biased by their life. And let me share two things about my grandmother. It was during the genocide when she had to flee from Turkey and go toward the sea where someone would probably come and save her, she thought. All Armenians were fleeing. My grandparents, my grandfathers were killed, and my grandma had a little child, about 5-6 years old, my mother, and she was pregnant with my uncle, and she was running. And she went by piles, a lot of little mounds or hills of human beings killed. And she saw pregnant women and children being killed. Nothing political in what I'm saying. I'm just telling you what my grandmother and mom shared with me. And people would come to my grandmother and say, "What are you doing? Leave this little girl. Let her go. Maybe some family will adopt her, or let her die. Why are you slowing down? You cannot run with a little girl and being pregnant." And my grandmother said, "I will be where my daughter is, and she will be where I am." And I believe God has a plan in everything. And I believe that grandma was willing to give up her life for her daughter. And you know, that continues often in a family. And I remember the second mother that I thought was my own mother. When Second World War, there was war, and my father was taken by the Germans, and my mom was left with two little children, and there was no food in Greece. She went and she begged the richer people to go in and clean their houses or sew some things. She was a dressmaker to keep us alive. So when you look at these great mothers and great grandmothers and grandmothers, you say, I wish they were here to hug them. But you know what? In every human being's life, there is a mother and there is a grandmother. And when we look back enough, we'll find good things to remember and honor them in our mind. But this morning, we read the story of another mother. And I would like to share with you a couple of thoughts. And we see this story in Matthew 15. It is the account of a mother who went to Jesus seeking help for her daughter who was not well. She was demon-possessed. And we read in verse 22, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Reading carefully chapters 8, 9, 17 in the book of Matthew will help us to understand the tragic results of demon possession. In the first century, that is, but looking around us today, we see that things have not improved at all. As a matter of fact, things are getting even worse. Drug addiction, alcoholism, witchcraft, all these things are here with us. We don't call them anymore demon-possessed or sick. We call them drug addicts. We call them alcoholics. We call them whatever you want to call a person that you know that is not doing well. And then, of course, there are people who are possessed by evil today. This mother desperately wanted help for her terribly suffering daughter. Her example once again demonstrates the tremendous love a mother has or must have for her child. She was persistent, as we see in the following facts. First, she came to Jesus even though she was not Jewish. She was a Gentile. She was Greek. She was a Canaanite. Mark 7:26 says she was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. A people with whom the Jews did not have any dealings. Canaanites worshipped idols. It would be abnormal for this woman to go to Jesus for help. Taking this step must have been a very difficult one for her. But this mother's love and concern for her daughter was stronger than her fears of being rejected by Jesus and the leader of this religion called Jewish. So you have a Greek Syrian who has a sick child, and she probably tried everything there was to do in her own city or in her own circle of people, in her own religious activities and traditions, and nothing worked. And all of a sudden, she hears the word Jesus, and she says, I'm going to go and meet this man. And then while she's going there, she hears all kinds of things about Jesus. And then she probably saw Jesus there. And just one look at Jesus and the way he talked, the way he acted, had captivated her heart and mind and referred to him as a healer. Number two, we see she persisted in spite of Jesus' silence. Jesus did not answer a word. We all know how much it hurts to be totally ignored when we are asking questions. I know from my experience, when my wife comes and she starts sharing something with me, and I forget that she's talking, or I stop hearing her and I do something, she stops and she's hurt. I have to apologize and start all over again. So we are very sensitive when someone talks to us and we talk to someone, I should say, and someone ignores us. Greeting someone or when we are trying to make conversation, we don't want to be ignored. Silence can be humiliating and may trigger many negative thoughts and reactions, but not in this mother. Number three, she persisted in spite of the disciples' urging to send her away. In verse 23 we read, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. His disciples were angry because Jesus had come to the place for privacy. And we see this in Mark 7:24. It says, Jesus entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. But the action of this woman made it impossible for the disciples to have some privacy. And often I've heard pastors and leaders and teachers to say, they won't leave me alone. I go home to relax, to rest, and they call me, or there is a need that I must go, and they complain. And then we want privacy. We don't want people to... it has made such an impression on me that I keep repeating this. What happened to me once, I called a colleague, a pastor, and I was talking to him about something very important. And this gentleman, when we finished talking, he said, and Joseph, do me a favor, please, don't call me on Mondays. That is my day off. And I thought, okay, I'll never call you again. Can you imagine if Jesus or God was like that, and if God said, now don't call me after sunset, or don't call me on Sundays, it's my day of rest. You know, even God has to rest. And don't call me whenever you need something, call me whenever. There are no conditions. God is always there to listen to us. But these disciples said, okay, we had enough with the Jewish people that come, our own people now. We don't want to start something with newcomers or the refugees or this woman who has a demon-possessed child. Maybe she's possessed too. I'm sure that these disciples were making up stories in their mind and they were pushing her away. Well, you know what? We are tempted to do the same thing. As a matter of fact, all of us at one time or another, we've said something hurtful in our minds about a refugee, a newcomer, or a beggar, or a sick person, or someone who needs our help. And we evaluate the situation. If the situation is not that bad, then we may want to help a little. But if the situation seems to be very complicated, then it's easier to deal for me with someone that says, would you please, Pastor, come and visit me or talk to me or pray with me because something is happening. But it's very difficult for me to deal with someone who has mental problems because I cannot communicate. And the initial response in my mind will be, oh, that's not for me, to avoid it. But Jesus was also discouraged by the by the disciples not to deal with a demon-possessed girl. But the mother continued, never stopped speaking to Jesus. Number four, we see she persisted in spite of the reminder of Jesus that he had come to the Jews, not the Gentiles. And that may sound very racist, very, very harsh to accept, but the Bible makes it very clear. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. And so he had a plan, and in his plan was to speak to these people, to the chosen people, if you wish, as the Bible puts it. But the Bible says Jesus came for the entire world. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Now, world in Greek is cosmos, and cosmos does not mean this globe. Cosmos means people. The people. I was sent only to the last sheep of Israel, verse 24 said. And when finally Jesus spoke to her, there were no words of encouragement. This morning, I encouraged you to encourage others and to strengthen or support others. In our adult class, we said, the best thing we can do is encourage those that are discouraged, disappointed, but even those who are not disappointed and discouraged, but they may feel lonely. Here, Jesus did not do that. Why? Well, Jesus knew exactly what was following, what was coming, and he did not encourage her or strengthen her faith. He just listened to her. Number five, she persisted even when she was compared to a dog. Now, these are tough things we see in Jesus. Jesus said, it is not fair, it is not good to take the food that is for the children and toss it or give it to the dogs. That's terrible. Verse 26 said that, says, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. She clearly understood the symbolic language, though. Jesus did not, and underline, did not mean to call her a dog. He was only echoing what was in the minds of the disciples, which was how the Jews believed. They believed that the Jews were the children and the Gentiles were the dogs. That's what was the culture. Well, the Greeks said, anyone who is not a Greek is a barbarian. And that may not be repeated being used today, but they think that way. Anyone who is not Greek is a barbarian. So that was the context. That was the cultural statement. But instead of being insulted, she replied, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. What a faith. What a faith. If that was me, I'd say, okay, forget it, man. What kind of a leader are you? And you claim to be the Son of God, and you claim to be the Messiah, and you called me, first of all, a pagan, and then you call me a dog, and then you say, I don't want to give you anything from the tech. What kind of a person are you? But when you hear her, you see that love of this mother, the love of this mother, that she's willing to sacrifice her pride and her everything just to have her daughter healed. Even a small blessing would satisfy her. She completely humbled herself for the sake of her child. For this mother, every effort was repaid when she heard Jesus say, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And again, I know of many people, and I'm sure many of you have not stopped praying for loved ones, mothers, fathers praying for their children, wives praying for their husbands, husbands praying for their wives, and the Bible encourages us to pray. And the question is, why shouldn't he hear me the first time? If he is God and he knows how I feel, and if he is God and knows that it's good for me to have a husband that is a believer or a good man or a wife or a child, why would he want me to tell him what to do? I really don't know how God's mind works. Some people pretend to know. But I know what the Bible says. And I believe that if we love the person so much that we are willing to humble ourselves like this mother and pray and ask, God will honor those prayers and answer them. I have two questions this morning. First, how much are you willing to do for your child, your grandchild, sister or brother? Are you willing to help no matter what it takes? Are you willing to do what it takes? And you know what? It's easy for me to stand up here and preach and tell you, do everything that, do anything, or you should do everything that it takes to help your child, your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband. But yesterday, we asked at the men's fellowship, we asked a young teenager who is here this morning with us, what is love? And actually, paraphrasing him, it was, love is to demonstrate how we feel about the person, or love is more than words, or love is to reach out and demonstrate that love. And when you love someone, when a mother is willing to give up everything, when a mother is willing to give up her time, when a mother is willing to give up that money that was set aside for some kind of entertainment, the mother that is willing to give up her vacation or whatever because she wants to help her child or her son, daughter or son, for something that is so necessary, is a mother that deserves all the honor. A mother that spends a lot of time praying to God for her child is a mother that deserves to be honored. A mother that is willing to sometimes not say anything, like the mother of Jesus, Mary, when everyone was saying something and when she was seeing things happening around her, she put all those things in her heart and kept them like a secret, and she never forgot what was happening and what was said about her and her son. I believe fathers also have those qualities, but I don't know. I believe God has blessed mothers with that extra amount of love and compassion and understanding. Because probably a mother carries a child for 9 I know Stefan was part of the, as I said, the process, but Teresa was the one who carried that child for 9 months. So maybe that closeness is what makes a mother extra do things that are, how can I put it, make her so sensitive to the needs of the child. How much are you willing to do for your child, your grandchild, sister or brother? How are you willing to help no matter what it takes? I'm sorry to say that often we see mothers and fathers and family members not willing to sacrifice a little bit, give up some of their free time to be with their children, communicate with the children, uplift the children, strengthen the children, listen to the children. One of the things that my daughters, I believe, have taught me is to listen. A lot of us have no time to listen. We have just about enough time to talk and tell them what to do, but not enough time to listen. And I believe that that would be a start for us as parents to start listening. This woman was many mothers and fathers are not willing to even give few minutes of their time to talk to their children, as I said, loved ones, let alone no matter what it takes. Second, how is your faith in Jesus? Because this lady not only loved her child, not only was willing to give up her time and her put a lot of effort, not only she was willing to be insulted for her child, but also she had faith in God, faith in Jesus. That is why she continued and persisted, persevered. This woman persevered even though she knew that she was from a different religion. She believed in Jesus, and no matter what her religion said, religion did not stop her. Many people will not come to Jesus because of their religious background. Even though she did not get an instant answer, she continued. Even when people tried to stop this mother, she continued. Even theology did not stop her. And finally, even when she was insulted, she continued until Jesus healed her daughter. Her persistence, humility, and faith won her the healing of her daughter, her request. She had come to Jesus for her healing, and she received it. What have you to come to ask from Jesus? He is, as always, ready to give. Are you ready to receive? And this is a, you may say, well, you turned it around to make it sound like salvation or receiving Christ or committing your life to Jesus or God. But actually, if this lady had not made up her mind to ask a higher power to come and heal that child would not have been healed. She had her own pagan religion, Greek. Greeks worshipped a lot of gods. As a matter of fact, they had a mountain, Olympus, Mount Olympus, where they believed that there were 12 gods living there. And she believed that those gods were for... each god had a department to run. And yesterday I was watching some European programs, and they wanted to honor Mother, and they called her Mother Nature. And they had dressed this woman, a beautiful-looking woman, as Mother Nature, and they were honoring evolution. Now, that's from Greece, right? And so they had the 12 gods, and people were asked which god was for what department. Well, this is the background of this woman, and that's where she had come. And she met Jesus, and her life changed. From 12 gods, she met one Savior. And that Savior not only saved that child, but this Savior saved her life and her family. And I believe the same Savior, the same God, the living God, who sent Jesus, His Son, to come and die on the cross for our salvation, is at work today. And lives are changing. Children are finding God, and parents are finding God. And through that change, that metamorphosis, that transformation, lives are they becoming meaningful. A lot of young people, a lot of teenagers, a lot of older men and women have lost faith in humanity. They have lost faith in religion. They have lost faith even in their parents. But there is one person, one power, if you wish. Our Creator is always there. Our manufacturer, He cares how we tick. He knows how we tick. He knows when our batteries are going down. He knows when we need an oil change, if you wish. He knows when the tires are worn out. And He knows. All He wants to hear is what Jesus heard. Would you please help me, Lord? Would you help me come out from this mess or confusion or these doubts are sort of very confusing doubts. Doubts can be our downfall, if you wish. But at the same time, there is nothing wrong in doubting about things that happen in our life. Unless you doubt about something, you will not investigate. Now, have you ever investigated? Have you ever searched to find God? And have you ever seen something better that is offered to you? As I once said, I put myself in the place of a searcher, someone who was finally trying to find a religion. And he said, "Okay, I'm an atheist." I only put myself in there. I didn't go through that route. But while I was trying to do that, I realized that it's very difficult for someone who does not believe in God to find quickly God, because of all this religious mess, if you wish. And I went and I read about this religion and that religion and the other religion and the other religion and the other theory, the other philosophy, and nobody and nothing impressed me more than the words of Jesus Christ: "For whosoever believes in me will have eternal life." Life, that's what I was searching for. Life on this earth and life eternal. And peace on this earth and peace forever. And this mother found Jesus, searched for Him, found Him, and finally her daughter was healed. I believe that we are challenged this morning by the Scriptures to look into God, to look, raise our eyes and look at Jesus and see whether we will accept Him as our Savior and the Savior of our family or not. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for blessing each one of us. My words were only human words, and my delivery was lacking of that power that comes only from You. But Lord, You are able to speak to each one of us. You can speak to each heart and each mind. And I beg You this morning, we all bow our head and ask You please to touch each one of us. And may the Holy Spirit revive each soul. And may this soul, Lord, find peace and joy in You and through You. And Heavenly Father, we ask You please this morning to touch our mothers and grandmothers and wives and loved ones. Strengthen them and give us wisdom to appreciate what You have designed for each one of us. In Your blessed name I pray, amen.